Howard Frank Mosier, award-winning author, often referred to as the voice of Vermont, died this weekend. A week after announcing he had cancer and was in hospice care, Mosier died Sunday morning at his home in Irisburg. He was 74. His acclaimed fiction set in the world of Vermont's Northeast Kingdom chronicled intertwining family histories of natives, wanderers, outcasts, and fugitives. A frequent guest on WAMC, Howard Frank Mosier made his last appearance with us on the book show just this past November, discussing his career and most recent novel, God's Kingdom. We are part of that interview now, In Memoriam. I love your work. I love that you have really taken this world, this place, and made it your own. At what point did this fabled Northeast Kingdom start to seem like home to you?
Well, I think that there was an evening soon after my wife and I arrived there when I had the equivalent of an epiphany, except that it wasn't a religious experience, but our landlady invited us to come down and have down the street and have cake and coffee with her. And she told us a story. She said that back during Prohibition and the Depression, she and her husband had owned a little dairy farm up in the mountains near the Canadian border, not far from the village where we were living. And that, like so many other farmers in New England and beyond, they were losing it to the bank. They just couldn't make enough from their milk check to pay the mortgage. So she decided that she would put to use the one piece of information that her father had passed along to her, the one thing he had taught her. She would make moonshine whiskey and save the farm with the proceeds. And so she set up a little still on the brook that ran through their property, and she made just enough of the stuff to sell in the nearby towns and keep that farm afloat. Well, one night, as she was running off the shine by lantern light, she looked up and she said that she saw across the brook a pair of city shoes with a man wearing a city suit standing in them, and she knew immediately who he had to be. He had to be a revenuer. So she said to him, you can arrest me if you want to, but I want you to know that if you do, we're going to lose our farm. And she looked back at the still, and when she glanced across the brook again, the guy was gone. Well, she and her husband somehow held on to that farm through the Depression and for many years thereafter, and ultimately, her husband died, and she kept the farm going for a few years, but it became more than she could handle, so she sold it and moved into the village. And one night, there was a knock at her door, and there stood the man in the city shoes, in the city suit. Hadn't seen him for 25 years. And she said, "Have you come to arrest me again?" And he said to her, "No, ma'am, this time I've come to marry you." And he did. And they were very happy together. Uh-huh. She had been with her first husband, but eventually he passed away. So when she finished the story, she looked at my wife and me, and she said, "Now, Howard and Phyllis, I don't want you to think I'm feeling sorry for myself. I've had a very good, fulfilling life. But I reckon I just ain't had good luck keeping my husband's alive." And at that moment, I looked at my wife and she looked at me, and we knew that one way or another, I was going to write the stories of the Northeast Kingdom. That was my epiphany, Joe.
So for this novel, it's set in the 1950s, and it follows the life of 14-year-old Jim Kinnison, who hopes to become a writer. I assume it is not too much of a stretch, certainly given his career choice and his career interest, that Jim is in some way, shape, or form based on you.
He is. The key to Jim Kinnison is I was years ago when I was working on my novel, A Stranger in the Kingdom, I was struggling to find the right angle of approach to it. That's the first book in what I hope will be a trilogy, God's Kingdom being the second book, and I'm working now on bringing the Kinison story up to the present in the third book. But when I wrote A Stranger in the Kingdom, it was a tough book to write. It's a story about a racist incident in the town where we live in Vermont, where you might not necessarily expect a racist incident to take place, but it did. And I worked on that book for many years without being able to really get the handle. And then one night, I wrote a sentence without really quite knowing what I was doing, and it went something like this. When I was a boy growing up in northern Vermont, my father and my older brother Charlie couldn't say one word to each other without getting into an argument, and somehow I knew I had found the voice of the young narrator of that story, Jim Kinison, and I also knew that Jimmy was probably going to be based on me, his father, the editor, based on my dad, his mother based on my mother, his older brother based on my best friend. But when I got that one sentence from Jimmy's point of view and where it came from, I still don't know, Joe. I think I had Jimmy Kinison. Yeah, he is me.
And this idea of wanting to find out about the family, and I mean, that's a writer's / journalist's perspective, isn't it? To find out those secrets, to root out those things of the past, and to figure all of that out.
Absolutely, there was a murder in Jim's family involving not to give it away, some of his relatives, and he is determined to find out who committed that murder and why and how he is indirectly connected to it.
You were not born in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. You were born in New York. You were born in the Catskill Mountains.
I was. I lived in the Catskills until I was 10, and then moved up to the Capital District and lived with my folks in Altamont for 4 very happy years, and then we moved to further upstate to a little town called Cato in between Syracuse and Rochester, and that's where I spent my high school years.
So getting back to really the first question that I asked you, so moving into the Northeast Kingdom, it was somewhat different, and yet there were many similarities to the remoteness. You were used to that in some ways.
Oh, yes. We were both my wife and I were, you know, country kids, and we were looking for a place like the place where we had grown up, and we knew we'd found it on the day we drove into town, and right in the middle of the main street of Orleans, Vermont, were two guys having a fist fight. I can't believe I was ever quite this naive, but I rolled the window down and I called out, "Excuse me, but could you gentlemen please tell us how to get to the local high school? We were going to interview for teaching jobs." And the taller of the two guys said, "We can do better than that. We can take you there." And so they piled into my grandparents' old blue Super 88 Oldsmobile, which we had borrowed to drive from Syracuse to northern Vermont. And those bozos directed us all over the village and got us lost down driveways and over in the lumber yard of the Ethan Allen Furniture Factory. Finally, by chance, we got to the school, and they got out and went down the street arm in arm, laughing and joking. And as I pulled into the school parking lot, my wife, then my fiance, Phyllis, tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Look back there." I looked over my shoulder. The two guys had resumed their fist fight in the middle of School Street, and Phyllis said to me memorably, "Sweetie, welcome to the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont."
I know I've heard you speak a few times about various novels, and one of the things that I know you often talk about is where fiction comes from. You also have written memoir, but this particular story of the Kinisons, as you say, mirrors much of your life in the sense of the characters and where these people come from. Is there a contemporary element too of what you see happening in that segment of Vermont? What you see happening socially, culturally, that intrigues you as well?
Well, I think that there is a contemporary element. When my wife and I first went to the Northeast Kingdom, there were 600 family dairy farms in Orleans County.
Right.
And today there are about 60, with really very few other jobs available. And so there's just a huge outpouring, particularly of young people from the kingdom, and in some ways that strikes me as tragic. But there's simply nothing for them to do there. Jim deliberately decides to come back to the kingdom and run his dad's newspaper. Not a very lucrative endeavor, but he's determined, as I've been, to tell the stories of this place. This is also, like Stranger in the Kingdom, a story about some of the darker elements of the Northeast Kingdom, but elements that I encountered, now that I look back on it, growing up in the Catskills and Altamont and Cato and upstate New York, and including racism, which is a subtext of many of the stories in the book.
What do you think of the characters and the stories that you tell is inherently Vermont, is Vermont made, if you will?
Well, I think their independence and independent-mindedness and their determination to go their own way. I couldn't begin to enumerate the number of people I've met in the Northeast Kingdom who could have gone any place and done absolutely anything they wanted to with their lives, including our landlady who made the whiskey to save her farm, but who, because they loved the Northeast Kingdom, decided to make their lives there under harder circumstances. And that's really no longer possible for most people today. If you have a teaching degree or a medical degree, you can live in the Northeast Kingdom and find a job. Otherwise, very difficult. But I think it's a love of that land. They're shaped by it to some degree, as they shape it, and a determination to live their own lives their own way in that place.
Is it a good place for a writer to live?
Well, it is. When we first arrived in the Northeast Kingdom, and I heard that story that our landlady told, I realized that what I had found in this remote little corner of an earlier New England was just a gold mine of stories that no other writer had ever told. I think Robert Frost wrote one poem set in the Northeast Kingdom, and other than that, I don't know of any fiction or literary nonfiction or poetry set in the Northeast Kingdom. So there were all of those stories for me. At 21 years old, I wasn't ready to tell those stories yet, to write them, not by a long shot, but I was ready to hear them and think about them and later on incorporate them into my own fiction.
We had your friend and mine, Richard Russo, on the program for his latest novel, which I know you had a hand in giving him the idea for his sequel to Nobody's Fool. And I asked you the question a moment ago about the things that are inherently Vermont. Rick can write about, he can write about Gloversville or Maine or other places in New England, and they have much of a quality of your writing, of what you're writing about, of the Northeast Kingdom. There is that New England vibe that goes throughout your work, which of course brings us down to the characters that inhabit these places.
Absolutely. And a few years ago, and this was at a time when I was calling Rick almost monthly to hector him about writing the sequel to Nobody's Fool. Finally, he said the reason he wrote the book was so I wouldn't pester him about it anymore. But I was traveling on the New York State Thruway, not far from Gloversville, and I said, what the heck, I'll stop and I'll see this place that he wrote about. So I drove over to Gloversville, and it was interesting. It reminded me of a lot of other towns, including that little town my wife and I went to back in 1964 in Vermont. But I couldn't quite get the feel that the characters, the people from Rick's novel, were on the streets. with me. Finally, I went into the library, and there in the fiction section, I found all 10 or 12 of Rick's books, and a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, aha, this is where Rick's characters and Rick's world is. It's in those books much more than it is in any real geographical locale. And I think the same thing is true. My books, my neighbors are always asking me, where's this town of Kingdom Come and that you write about? And mm-hmm. I say, well, it's an amalgamation of three or four local towns, maybe a couple of the towns I grew up in upstate New York, including Altamont, mm-hmm. with a lot of invention thrown in. And surely they understand this, but a couple of years later, they're just as apt to ask me the same question. Where's this town? We want to go see Kingdom Come in Vermont in the books.
It also brings to mind that idea that we have of regional fiction, which is not something that is as associated with your books because of that universal tone to it.
Well, thank you. I don't object to the term regional writer because, indeed, I've written almost exclusively about one region, the Northeast Kingdom, for my whole career.
Right.
But without making egregious comparisons between myself and my betters, I would point out that a lot of the best American fiction and poetry is very highly regional and nonfiction, beginning with Walden and certainly Robert Frost's poetry and Faulkner's fiction, Flannery O'Connor's fiction, and the same is true of a great many contemporary writers as well. I've heard the term now place-based fiction used I guess that's to get away from the pejorative implications of regional fiction. But yeah, Joe, I'm a regional writer sitting right across from you. Nothing else.
Howard Frank Mosier on The Book Show last November. The author died over the weekend and will be missed by family, friends, readers, and all of us here at WAMC.